142. Brother Grigsby preached from this psalm on Thursday morning during the conference and got me to looking at it, so we'd like to preach from this psalm this evening. We'll read all seven verses. I cried unto the Lord with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privately laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. From the title of this psalm, your Bible, it probably reads, Maskil of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. From that title, we are informed of several things. We know that David is the author from the title. We also know something of the circumstances and the time of the psalm. It was written while David was in a cave. Also from the title, we see the purpose of the psalm. It is called Maskil, which simply means instruction. Instruction of David. So the psalm is for our instruction. It was while in this cave that David was carried along by the Holy Spirit to write this psalm. God, of course, preserved it, as he does with all of his word, and he's given it to us. It's a gift, as all the word of God is, and it is given to us for instruction. The truth is that David wrote two psalms at this particular time, or while in the cave. We also see Psalm 57 was written during this cave experience. And again, both Psalm 57, Psalm 142, are instructive to you and I and provide us with hope when and if we find our own selves in a cave. We'd like to speak tonight on cave-like days. Cave-like days. We all find ourselves occasionally in a cave. It's not a place where you want to live. Hopefully, we just find ourselves there occasionally. We don't live in the cave. But the background leading up to the psalm, we see that Saul, of course, after David killed Goliath, Saul relentlessly pursued David. The reason being was that Saul was jealous of David, and Saul viewed David as a threat. One of the reasons for this was because of the reaction of the people to David. The women in particular were singing his praises and were exalting him above David, and David had basically become a national hero. And this absolutely enraged Saul. Notice in 1 Samuel, if you keep a mark there in Psalm 142, but in 1 Samuel chapter 18, again looking at the background leading up to the psalm, in verses 6 through 9, and it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tabrets with joy and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can they have more but the kingdom? So he began to make an assumption. That's another message. And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. In verse 29 of the same chapter, and Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. And from there was a perpetual pursuit of David. Notice in chapter 19, verse 2, but Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David, and Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father seeketh to kill thee. My father seeks to kill thee. Verse 10 and verse 11 of chapter 19, and Saul sought to smite David, even to the wall with the javelin, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. So we see, again, Saul relentlessly pursuing David. In verse 15, and Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, bring him up to me in the bed, that I may slay him. So there was this constant attempt after attempt was made to slay, to kill David. And leading up to this psalm, David would eventually take matters into his own hands, and he would flee to Nob. Notice in 1 Samuel chapter 21, 1 Samuel chapter 21, and verse 1, then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech, the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, why art thou alone, and no man with thee? David would proceed to tell a lie to Ahimelech. He would tell Ahimelech that he was on business from Saul, that Saul had sent him, and he did this in order to obtain bread and a sword from Ahimelech. And after he obtains the bread and the sword, we see he fled from there. Notice in verse 10 of chapter 21, and David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul. Now he's got bread and he's got a sword. And went to Achish, the king of Gath. Enemy territory. Again, David is taking matters to his own hand, and he's now in enemy territory. And he becomes afraid of Achish, and David pretends to have a seizure, which led Achish to say, I don't have any need for this man. I don't have any need for David. And at the end of chapter 21, you could insert Psalm 34. Let's turn there. We're not going to read the psalm, but Psalm 34, just notice the title. A Psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. So at the end of 1 Samuel 21, you could insert Psalm 34. That's where Psalm 34 would fit in. So David departs from Gath, and he arrives in 1 Samuel 22 in verse 1. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And that's where Psalm 142 picks up. So there's David. He's a fugitive from Saul, a fugitive from the bloodthirsty underlings of Saul. And he's taking refuge in a cave. Now, when David first arrives in the cave, there in 1 Samuel 22 and verse 1, he's alone. He's all alone. We read later on there in verse 1 and verse 2 that, of course, his mighty men would come to him. But when he first got there, he's all alone. And I believe that's when he wrote Psalm 142. When he's all alone. We can see that from the content of the 142nd Psalm. So, this was an extremely difficult and trying time for David. He's being persecuted by Saul. His life is in danger. He has been greatly misunderstood. He's now at an apparent dead end in his life. He had been anointed king by the prophet Samuel. But there he is in a cave, living like an animal in a very, very disheartening place, a very dark place, a very dreary and damp cave. He is alone. Again, the mighty men have not come to him yet, as you just read the first half of 1 Samuel 22 in verse 1. And he's in a very, very low state. He's in a state of helplessness. And reading through Psalm 142, we see David describes his situation, or there's much information we can gather about David's situation as we read through Psalm 142. Reading through the Psalm 142, you see that David, if I counted right, uses 32 personal pronouns referring to himself. I, me, and my. 32 times David uses those words. What's the significance of that? Well, it simply shows us that this psalm is a very personal experience of David. Everything we read in this psalm is personal. Everything we read here, David felt very intently. And as we read through the psalm again, we can piece together and we see the situation of David. Again, we all get to these caves every now and then, but we don't want to live there. But David is in this cave. Now notice, he says in verse 1, I cried, emphasize the word cried. I cried unto the Lord. There is the implication there of personal pain, of sorrow. Not necessarily physical pain, though there may have been some. But David is feeling personal pain and sorrow. He also says in verse 1, I make my supplication. The word supplication has to do with pleading, with begging, which indicates that this was a time of personal urgency. You don't beg and plead unless it is an urgent situation. And again, so David cries unto the Lord, indicative of pain and sorrow. David makes his supplication unto the Lord, begs and pleads with God, showing us that this is a time of urgency. He says in verse 2, he uses the words, my complaint. A complaint is an expression of dissatisfaction. He says, my complaint. He does not say my request. He says, my complaint. He says, I poured out my complaint. Dissatisfaction. So he's in a place, he's dissatisfied because he's in a place that he would not have chosen. This isn't what David had planned for his life. He's now in a cave. He's in a place that he would rather not be. Though he went there, he would rather not be there. So we see David is in pain. He's in sorrow. The situation is urgent. And he's in a place that he'd rather not be. In other words, he's in a place of dissatisfaction. He also, in verse 2, he speaks of my trouble. My trouble. Implying that this was a time of difficulty. This was a time of personal problems. Again, it's all personal. It was a time of personal inconvenience. It was a time of personal stress, burden, woe, affliction, and suffering. So putting it all together, David is in pain and sorrow. He is in a place of urgency. He's in a place of, in a state of dissatisfaction. His life is filled with difficulty and problems and inconvenience and stress and burdens and pains and woes and afflictions. He's in a suffering state. He says in verse 3, my spirit, that's inward, was overwhelmed in me. Now what's it mean to be overwhelmed? Well, first of all, what's he overwhelmed with? Well, I believe he's overwhelmed with his trouble. But what does it mean to be overwhelmed? It means to be swamped. So David's troubles were swamping him. He was submerged in his troubles. He was engulfed in his troubles. He felt like he was being buried by his troubles. He felt like he was being smothered and overcome by his troubles. He said, my spirit was overwhelmed. And then for emphasis, spirit, you immediately think of inward. But he emphasizes it, my spirit was overwhelmed in me. So he's feeling inward pain. And may I say, inward pain many times is far worse than physical pain. And this is what David is feeling at this time. He also says in verse 3, wherein I walk, they have privately laid a snare for me. He says, no matter where I walk, keep in mind that Saul had been relentlessly pursuing David. He says, no matter where I walk, no matter where I turn, Saul and his men have privately laid traps just for me. So, there was the danger. His life is surrounded by danger. That's why he left Nob. That's why he left Gath. And that's why he's in this cave now. because he feels that he's surrounded by danger. There is the danger of potential destruction. There is the danger of potential ruin. And it's everywhere. He says, wherein I walked. Doesn't matter where I walked, there was this danger. In other words, there was no escaping it. In verse 4, he says, there was no man. Put the emphasis on no man. There was no man that would know me. In other words, he felt forsaken. But you know, David's perception is all wrong at this point. When he went to Nob, he lied to Ahimelech. But now he says, no man cared for my soul. When he went to Gath, he lied. Or he pretended to have a seizure. And people were avoiding him. And they were avoiding him from his own doing. And now he says, there was no one. People do that all the time. People chase people out of their lives. And then they have the audacity to say, no one cares. And this is basically what David has done. There was no man that would know me. Now, it's not totally true, but it's the way David was feeling. So David was feeling forsaken. He was feeling cast aside. He was feeling stranded. It wasn't true, but this is the way that he felt. He says in verse 4, refuge failed me. In other words, I have no place to turn. There is no place where I can turn. There are no human solutions to my situation. Now, that's not necessarily a bad place to be. God many times brings us to that place where we have no place to turn, where there are no human solutions to cause us to turn to Him. And I believe that's what God's doing here. We also says in verse 4, no man, he said no man would know me, but now he says no man cared for my soul. He's saying I have not received comfort from man. There is no man that can give me the comfort that I need. And that may very well be true. And once again, this is not necessarily a bad place to be. He is saying, I have no one to plead my cause. He has been rejected. And basically, when he says, no man cared for my soul, no man would know me, he's saying, here I am in this cave, I'm in no man's land. I'm here all alone. Again, this was before David's mighty men arrived that we read of there in verse 1 and verse 2 and the rest of 1 Samuel 22. He says in verse 6, I am brought very low. That is, this implies discouragement. This implies depression. Now you put together everything we've said up to this point, and it's no wonder that David now feels very low. Here is someone who has been anointed king by Samuel the prophet, but he's at a seemingly dead end in his life. Everything seems to be working against him, so he becomes discouraged. He becomes depressed. In verse 6, he makes reference to my persecutors, plural. It wasn't just Saul, but it was Saul's men. But my persecutors implies oppression. It implies abuse, mistreatment, torment, harassment. Now, that can be real. We can have actual persecutors. We can experience actual oppression and abuse and mistreatment and harassment. Or it can be perceived, where it becomes a reality. But this is the way David was looking at it. He says, my persecutors. And then he says, they are stronger than I. So this was a time of weakness. This was a time of felt weakness. Again, this is not a bad place to be. We need to be brought to a place of felt weakness. But then in verse 7, he speaks of his soul being in prison. Bring my soul out of prison. His soul, that's inward again. David is physically in the cave. But there's something worse than being physically in the cave. And that is his soul was in prison. His soul was enslaved. Now David also describes this cave time in Psalm 57. Notice if we go over there, Psalm 57. Again, this is also in the cave. And in verse 1, he speaks of calamities. Calamities. Now, as you read Psalm 57, it's very apparent that David has grown closer to the Lord in Psalm 57. So, it's obvious that Psalm 142 was written before Psalm 57. But anyway, he mentions calamities. That is, disaster, adversity, tribulation. In verse 3, he speaks of reproach, or the rebuke of him that would swallow me up. Again, indicating that there were those who were seeking to destroy him. In verse 4, he describes the awfulness of his enemies. He says, my soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. So David had experienced hurt from his enemies. He also, in verse 6, states they have prepared a net for my steps. And he says, my soul is bowed or weighted down. And he says, they have digged a pit before me. So David was faced with much uncertainty. So we get an idea by reading Psalm 142 and by reading Psalm 57. David's circumstances or what David was feeling at this time. God has permitted David to be in this very dark and dreary time in his life. David has brought most of it upon himself. Yes, there is Saul. But David has brought most of this upon himself by taking matters into his own hands. But disregard that. And God has permitted David to be in this dark and dreary time in his life. He's in a cave. He's in a cave. If the sun is shining, he doesn't know it. He's in a cave. That describes the condition of many. The sun is shining, but they don't know it. If the birds are singing, he doesn't hear it because he's in a cave. For a while, he's in this cave all alone. All alone with his thoughts. That can be tormenting within itself. All alone with your thoughts. But we need to go through seasons of life that are bleak. There's a necessity in that. We bring some of it on ourselves. But we do need to go through seasons that are bleak to teach us that God has something better for us. We need to go through days in the cave or some times in the cave so that we can get a better perspective. Because in the cave, our needs become very real. They are revealed to us. But also in the cave, God's loving care becomes very real. It is in the cave many times that we see God's purposes more clearly. It is in the cave that God's presence becomes more visible many times. God's provision, God's protection becomes more visible in the cave. Life outside of the cave, many times we lose sight of our need. We lose sight of God's provision, God's care, God's protection. So God allows us to go into the cave so we can better perceive. God allows David to be in this cave, I believe, to teach him principles that he would one day need in the palace. David would get to the palace. David would be king. But before he got there, there were some lessons that David needed to learn that would be of value to him in the palace, that would be valuable to him in his future. And sometimes God permits us to be in the cave to teach us some lessons that will be valuable to us down the road. It's God taking care of us. So the cave was God's school for David. So we've seen David's circumstances, what David is feeling at this time. Now let's notice David's behavior in the cave. Because it's David's behavior in the cave that'll get you out of the cave. From David's behavior, we learn how to get out of the cave. Reading through the psalm, David in the cave was aware of the presence of God. He had no man at the beginning. Eventually, his mighty men would come. But at the beginning, he was all alone. But even though he had no man that would know him, and even though no man cared for his soul, that's David's perception, he was aware of the Lord's presence in that cave. And being aware of God's presence, he moved in the direction of God. Notice verse 1. Twice we read the phrase, unto the Lord. He says, I cried unto the Lord. Unto the Lord did I make my supplication. So if you skip a few words, you get to emphasize the point, I unto the Lord. So David felt the presence of God. And David moved in the direction of God. Notice in verse 2, we read twice, before him. I poured out my complaint before him, and I showed before him my trouble. Unto him, before him. I unto him, I before him. It speaks of position. David's position in the cave was he got unto the Lord. He got before the Lord. In verse 5, he says, unto thee, unto thee. So, what David did in the cave is what we all must do in the cave. And that is move personally in the direction of God. You are not in that cave alone. There may not be any other person, but that's not what's important. God is there. And knowing that God is there, move in the direction of God. Even if you can't feel the presence of God, you know that He's there. You know that theologically. So just knowing He's there, you may not feel His presence, but it's like saying, God, I don't know where you are, but I know you're here somewhere, and I'm just going to move. And that's what he did. He moved in the direction of God. This is how you get out of the cave. Now, the psalm again is a prayer when he was in the cave. So David is in the cave, but he prays. But he prays. And we want to notice some characteristics of David's prayer in the cave. First of all, it was fervent. It was earnest. Again, keep in mind his situation, everything that David was feeling. Feeling that way, you are going to pray fervently. You are going to pray earnestly. Person may say, I'm as low as I can possibly get. But if they're not praying, they need to be lower. They need to be lower. And if they're not praying fervently and earnestly, they need to be brought lower. They need to be brought so low that their prayer is fervent and earnest. In verse 1, David says, I cried unto the Lord. He doesn't just say, I spoke unto God. He said, I cried unto the Lord. He says in verse 5, I cried unto thee, O Lord. And again in verse 1, unto the Lord did I make my supplication, my pleading, my begging. So David isn't just crying, he's crying unto God. If all you do is cry, you're a crybaby. But if you cry unto God, that's wisdom. That's wisdom. We see that he's begging and pleading with God. In verse 2, he said, I poured out before him. This describes the fervency of his prayer. He is saying, I emptied my heart before God. I emptied it all out. I poured before him. True praying involves an emptying of ourselves before God. In verse 6, David is pleading, and he says, the first part of that verse, attend unto my cry. Attend unto my cry. So each of these phrases, I cried unto the Lord, I made my supplication unto the Lord, I poured out unto the Lord. Lord, attend, give attention to my cry. All of those phrases speak of great fervency and earnestness. So David isn't just speaking some words here. Here is a man who is brought low. And his prayer is passionate. It's intense. It's heartfelt. It's wholehearted. It's very zealous. Why? Because there was a sense of urgency. And when there is a sense of urgency, and when you come to the realization that only God can help me, you will pray. And if you don't, you haven't gotten there yet. It's that simple. David's prayer was honest. And this is what Brother Grigsby's point of his message. In verse 2, he said, I poured out my complaint. A complaint is a grievance. A complaint is a gripe. It's an objection. It's a sign of disapproval. A sign of dissatisfaction. And he says, I poured out my complaint before him. Before him. That's honest. It's amazing how dishonest we can be when we talk to God. And how foolish. Because God knows. God knows. You have a complaint, don't cover it with lying words. David said, I poured out my complaint. Was he right in having a complaint? Of course not. But what better way to get it fixed than to pour it out before the one who can fix it? And then he goes on and he says, I showed, or I uncovered, made manifest, expressed, and proclaimed before him my trouble. Our attitude many times is wrong. We think, well, God knows. He knows my trouble, and He does. We don't talk to God for information's sake. Yes, He does know your trouble, but He wants you to tell Him. And David here didn't just say, I told the Lord my trouble. That's not what he said. I showed it to Him. I showed before Him my trouble. And then he goes on and he says, I poured before Him. I showed before Him. So this was an honest committal before God. This is how you get out of the cave. Be honest with God. David's prayer was with faith, assurance, and confident. This is evident again from the fact that it was unto God. Why would you talk unto God if you had no confidence in God? The very fact that he talked to God, the very fact that he pleaded with God shows that he has confidence in God. Before him. So unto him, before him, shows us that he has confidence. Notice verse 3. He says, Thou knewest my path. He's very confident that God knows all about it. God does know all about it. But don't say those words in a way to just kind of do away with it. Thou knowest all about it. The psalmist was confident of that. Notice verse 5. Thou art my refuge and my portion. You see what's happening here? David is growing closer to the Lord. His confidence is growing as he pleads with God. He had said earlier, refuge hath failed me. He says, Thou art my refuge and my portion. And then in verse 7, though all alone, he says, the righteous shall compass me about. And even though he said, no man would know me, no man would care for my soul, he's saying, God, I know that they're coming. And here's why. Thou shalt deal bountifully with me. When did that happen? Notice in 1 Samuel 22 again, if we go back there. 1 Samuel chapter 22. Again, David expresses faith. He's praying and he's saying, Lord, I know that the righteous are going to come to me. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And we don't know how long, But then eventually, and when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. Now he prayed Psalm 142 before that happened. So there was faith. And everyone that was in, and then goes on to describe, we're running out of time, goes on to describe those who came to David and were a comfort to David. David's prayer was specific. We must not pray in generalities. When we get low enough, we'll get specific in our prayers. When we come to the realization, I can't fix this. No one else can fix it. We'll get specific in our praying. And he says here in verse 6, deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. He's praying for something specific. And in his request, he realizes and feels his own feebleness, for they are stronger than I. But he also knows that God is stronger than them. And that's why he prayed, Lord, you're going to have to handle this. Notice verse 7. Again, he's specific. Bring my soul out of prison. Now, in order to pray specifically, we have to pray honestly. If you're in prison, don't deny it. Don't tell God you're not there. If you're in prison, tell God you're in prison. And that's what he's doing here. He's saying, Lord, I can't get out of this prison. No other man can get me out of this prison. Lord, bring my soul out of that prison. Now, when we pray that, when we pray, Lord, bring my soul out of prison, the Lord may, he may not, but the Lord may then speak to us and say, how did you get there? Which requires more honesty. More honesty. This is how we get out of the cave. Then notice David's prayer had a reason. All true praying must have a reason. The reason that David requested what he did, notice verse 7. Bring my soul out of prison. That means in order. So this is the reason. So is David praying to have his soul delivered from this prison just so he could feel better? No, that's not the reason. David didn't say, bring my soul out of prison that I may not be tired anymore, that I might not suffer anymore. That's not what he said. But he said that I may praise thy name. He's saying, Lord, where I am right now, the condition I am in, I am not able to praise you like I want to, like I ought to. So Lord, bring my soul out of this so that I can praise you. So what was his reason for praying? His reason was God. His reason was God's glory. So that I might praise thee. So his reason for praying was a God reason. That should always be our need, our reason for praying. We can become, we all do. If I were to examine my prayer life, I would find, and you would too, that we are very selfish in our praying. But God brings us to a point where we're not praying for self. We're praying for His glory. And that's basically what David's doing here. Yes, he's praying for himself, but it's so that he can praise God. So, Psalm 142, I believe, records the beginning of David's cave experience. So, if you go over to 1 Samuel 22, verse 1, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And right there, I believe you can insert Psalm 142. Right there. And then sometime after, and then his brethren, and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. But I believe also that after David prayed what he prayed in Psalm 142, David is growing. He's growing in that cave. And I believe that becomes evident over in Psalm 57. Just notice, and we'll close, the statements that David makes in Psalm 57. He's obviously growing. And if we're going to be in a cave, we ought to at least grow. What a terrible, terrible thing to have to spend some dark and dreary days and not learn a thing from it. That's sad. Now, if you're going to be in a cave, at least learn something. In verse 1, the last part of the verse, he says, "For my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge." That's quite different what we're reading in Psalm 142. In verse 2, "I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me." He's beginning to feel God working. In verse 3, "He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah." God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. You see, David is growing in assurance. In verse 5, he says, "Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth." I believe by the time he gets to Psalm 57, his soul, he's still in the cave, but his soul has been delivered from the prison. You can still be in the cave and not have your soul in the prison. Then notice, we'll go down and read verses 7 through 11. "My heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." Remember why he prayed? "That I might praise thy name." We come to Psalm 57, and that's exactly what he's doing. "Awake up my glory, awake psaltery and harp. I myself will wake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth." We would all like to avoid cave experiences. There isn't anyone here that would choose the dark and the dreary cave experience. It's something we seek to avoid. But if in those experiences you grow closer to the Lord, where you'll be able to look back upon it and say, "You know something? That was one of the best days of my life." Cave experiences can be a blessing. What do we do with our cave experiences? We're all going to have them. You're not going to get through this world without them. They're going to happen. Sometimes no doing of our own, they just happen. Most of the time, we had a lot to do with it. But either way, it's still a cave experience. Either way, we need, again, this is instruction of David from a cave. The way to get out of the cave is to do what David did. That's how you get out. May I say that's also how you keep from putting yourself in a cave as well. Once we get out of the cave, don't go back acting like what put you in there. But learn. Learn to live differently. You ever notice that all of us, somehow we keep going back to the same cave? Some caves we never have gone back to. But there are some caves we just keep going back to over and over and over and over and over again. God help us to learn from our cave experiences. Brother Tim, would you come and